Wunderschönen guten Morgen, ihr hört Insert Moin bei superlevel.de und ich werde genau jetzt ins Englische wechseln, weil wir nämlich heute zwei englischsprachige Gäste dabei haben. Ich bin der Manu and with me today two guys from Texas. Good morning.
Good morning, Manu.
What time is it in Texas right now?
It's a little bit after 1 o'clock. It's 1:10.
Okay, so it's not in the morning.
No, not at all. We just started the afternoon.
Okay, usually we're a breakfast podcast, you know. We record in the morning. It's 8 o'clock in the afternoon in Germany. And maybe you should introduce yourself to our listeners. Maybe we start with David.
Hey, I'm David Kubelak. I am the art director at Robot Entertainment and worked on Echo Prime.
And I'm Chris Rippey, and I'm the producer of Echo Prime.
Nice to have you guys on my show.
Oh, thanks for having us.
Yeah, thanks for having
us. Tell us a little bit about the reason why you're here.
Sure. We're here to talk about Echo Prime, which is our latest iOS release. It's a game that's also going to be coming out on Android pretty soon. But it's an action RPG. It's a very cool game that's set in a sci-fi universe. Lots of action, lots of character customization, and a really cool component for playing along with your friends, too. So through kind of a asymmetrical co-op gameplay.
You had me at sci-fi.
Yes, that's all we pitched at the beginning. Was make something sci-fi.
Yeah, I think that's one of the things that got us pretty jazzed about it too. I all the way back from our roots in Ensemble, we did get to mess around with Halo Wars IP, but other than that, it's been a lot of historical stuff. And even when we did Hero Academy, that was more kind of fantasy driven. And then of course, Orcs Must Die is rooted in deep fantasy. So. But all along the way, we're big science fiction fans too. It's definitely nice to have that creative outlet to hit another type of genre. Mm.
One important question, because we're only audio, are you guys wearing beards?
Mm-hmm. I'm growing one. I was growing one. I have an infant at home, and I was growing one during the last couple months of that, but then shaved it towards the end. But I'm starting to regrow one now. But other than that. No.
Well, what's the right answer? Yeah. I want to be able to paint the proper picture here. So if a beard is needed, absolutely. You should see it. I look like ZZ Top.
This is a very beardy friendly podcast, dude.
I love it. Yes, then you would love my face right now.
So you guys from Robot Entertainment, some guys may know the company name from the two of your famous games, I think. It's Orcs Must Die.
Yep.
And what was the other Hero? I always want to say Hero Quest, but it's Hero Academy, of course.
Yes.
One of my favorite iOS games, actually. I really like the asynchronous gameplay of that game.
Yeah, that was like one of the big things. Echo Prime. Hero Academy was about a year and a half ago when it came out, and we started on it about 2 years ago, and. We realized everybody has phones. We wanted to be able to kind of like connect people, but connect them in a way that doesn't need to have people on at the same time. Mm. And that was kind of the real genesis behind that of taking something like a Final Fantasy Tactics, but then moving it to a phone where you can kind of have that asynchronous back and forth. And then just as a creative outlet, just being able to kind of envision all of the different kind of classes and teams that we were able to put together in there was a lot of fun.
And it has a lot of depth when you play it a lot, but it also works when you just have like 5 minutes. You can make like one turn, two turns, or you can play for hours. Really enjoyed that.
And that was another title I got to work on too, and it was one of those things of I would have 40 some games going at once when the game first came out. And, I would be able to kind of have different paces for different opponents. Since I had so many games, there'd be times that I would just rush through real quick, just make my turns real fast. But then some of the more competitive, people that I would play with, I would really take my time and make sure that, I wasn't making any bad moves.
And actually that asynchronous and quick play style was something we tried to bring into Echo Prime, which we can talk about maybe more in detail later, but... Really, what one of our goals in Echo Prime was is that you can go in and make substantial progress on your character in 5 minutes, you know, so in between meetings or while you're sitting down at lunch or whatever, but you can advance your character, you can get messages from your friends who have used your echoes, and then feel good about having played that quick session, but then also sit down for 2 hours if you want to as well.
Yeah. One thing that is really driving me nuts when I start Hero Academy on the iPhone is the Team Fortress team.
Yeah.
You know, that you announce the Team Fortress guys as a playable team in Hero Academy. And even the splash screen is in the iOS version, but of course there's it's only viable on Steam. That's driving me nuts.
I'm sorry about that. I mean, usually when somebody has their own platform, it's kind of tough to then, you know, like also share, you know, their pretty big, you know, IP like that. They were nice enough to at least let us share it in the sense of once you have the team, you know, you can still play it on the other device, but yeah.
Oh, so you can buy it on the Steam version and you can play it in the iOS version?
That is correct.
Oh.
You'd need to buy the full game on the Steam version.
Yeah. Okay, breaking news, but that's good to know.
Yeah, if you buy it on Steam, it's hooked to your account, and that from that point on, you don't even have to go back into Steam. You could play that team from your iPhone from then on out, if that's your preferred way to play. But you may find out after you start playing on Steam, it's actually a really nice way to play also.
So if you take a look at your games now, it was like tower defense, then strategical or tactical vice versa game, and now it's like an action RPG. It differs a lot. The genres switch from game to game. Is that something like you prefer to do, or is it more difficult?
Yeah, and actually, I would say we prefer to do it, and it is more difficult. And if you look back at our kind of history, a lot of us were together at Ensemble Studios originally, where we made real-time strategy games for a number of years. So that even adds another layer of different games into it. But really, we get a chance here. We're really lucky to where we can explore what we're interested in. So that could mean making a game like Orcs, and we're still really excited about that game and want to make a sequel on it, so we do that for a year. Or if somebody's got an idea that gets us excited, like Echo Prime or Hero Academy, we can kind of take a left turn and then spend time on that game too. And it's just really a luxury in the industry, and we're really happy and feel, you know, fortunate to have the ability to do that. So when a cool idea comes up, if the studio's behind it and excited about it, we try and chase that down and do it. But it is harder to do that, yeah.
Yeah, and you know, like what Chris was saying, I mean, a lot of us have, you know, worked with each other and kind of worked on strategy games for over a dozen years, really. Like even at Robot, we started, you know, working, you know, for over a year on Age of Empires Online. So we'd already kind of continually worked on one type of game, and all along the way, of course, we had other ideas, other things that we could do. But if you realize, you know, and you kind of take a look back at the games we have done at Robot with Orcs and Hero Academy and even Echo Prime, there's still a layer of strategy, you know, in those games. So it's kind of hard for us to get away from that. It's kind of in our DNA, I think. But it is one of those things we like to showcase that depth in strategy in different ways than just a real-time strategy game.
Yeah. Talking about your new game, Echo Prime, how do you, like, what was the process? What is the decision to make a game like Echo Prime? Like, how do you come up with new ideas? Is everybody in the team able to pitch ideas? What is your concept there?
Yeah, so the original idea, so when we wrapped up Hero Academy and we're wrapping up Orcs Must Die 2, everyone in the studio was allowed to come up with different ideas for different games. And then it just kind of got narrowed down more and more from there, and we ended up with Echo Prime. So a small group went off from there and prototyped it, but it was just the idea that kind of rose to the top from a bunch of ideas from within the studio and was picked. And then the small group went off and started working on it. And from that point forward, though, it's all about prototyping the game and playtesting the game all the time. And that process of playtesting the game, it's literally everybody in the company will play the game and offer feedback and ideas, so anyone that has a cool idea can pitch that idea and get it in the game. And really, that's what makes a game special, in our opinion, is just you know, an artist contributing to the design or the designer contributing to the sound effects or musical ideas, and just everybody pitching into what gets them excited and taking the game from there. Mm.
I was talking to the Double Fine guys some weeks ago, and do you do something similar like game jams inside your company and stuff like that?
We do ours a little different because it's a little bit similar to how Chris said of like when there is that downtime and we're kind of looking for what the next idea is. So it's even though because we did this even when Hero Academy started, we kind of had a more open slate and was kind of like, oh, well, what are we going to do next? We knew we wanted to do something for our mobile platform, but that was it. Mm. So we came up with multiple ideas there, but then ended up picking Hero Academy. Same type of thing. Once we kind of like were able to finish up Hero Academy and Orcs 2, there was that more open slate. We kind of like took a step back and then still had some of the ideas that we had from Hero Academy that were left over. We carried those over, but after time passes, there's also new ideas, right? So, man, this last time, you know, when we picked Echo Prime, I mean, we went through dozens of different ideas.
60, I think.
Yeah, like, so we had quite a few, you know, things to kind of go through and do there. But we kind of keep ourselves busy. You know, we're a team of under 50 people working on 2 games. So, you know, we don't do the more reoccurring type of game jams. We kind of do them as needed.
Although I will say, I love the idea of literally getting in and doing a game jam where teams break off and make small prototypes, because nothing gets the company or groups more excited than actually seeing something in action. Mm. Paper is one thing, but once you start letting people touch a game and play a game, and then you know you immediately understand it. And to have teams like what it sounds like the Double Fine guys do, where they have a couple different groups break off and make small prototypes, I think that's fantastic. Mm.
So tell me about the vision of Echo Prime. I keep confusing those two names. I don't know why.
We do it all the time too.
Tell me about the vision. What was your intention for Echo Prime? What was your goal to achieve?
Well, from the beginning, we knew we wanted to kind of do an action game and we wanted to kind of a level of strategy. And some of the kind of inspiration that we drew from was Battleheart and Infinity Blade. And when we started talking about that and kind of mixing it with, you know, what we kind of like generically call more of a Space Diablo type of game, it that really was kind of just the elevator statement of it when we first started talking about it. But as soon as you get past that, there were just the layers and layers and layers of stuff that just added in all of the depth of being able to kind of like customize and change out your echoes. And then also having the layer of, well, if I use this sword with this gun mixed with this helmet and this arm, like there's kind of different things. And then the different encounter combinations of, oh, well, when these scrubs are with this revenant, then, you know, they actually are harder to beat. It was just that kind of like over, you know, everything, just everywhere we looked, there was just this added bit of depth, added bit of fun that kind of gives us that first thing that we wanted of that kind of bite-sized fun that you can kind of play on a mobile title. But then also gives the thing that we really wanted, that it's not just a game that you pick up, you try a couple times on the bus, and then you move on to something else. We wanted to really get you invested in the character. We wanted you to really like kind of want to grow, want to progress, want to put, you know, the hours in, even if you're just doing it a couple minutes at a time.
Yeah, and I would say one of the maybe lower level, or maybe it's a higher level goal. I always get the higher level and the lower level mixed up. One of the goals was just making sure we did right for the platform of touchscreen devices and making sure that everything felt right on that, you know, on the iPad or the iPhone, just movement and UI and just it all fitting together, right, was one of the side goals of the game that we really concentrated quite a bit on.
And that was our first priority. Like, you know, like Chris said, kind of getting stuff on paper and, you know, getting concept guys and designers together and, you know, the limit is the sky, you know, when you start doing that. But it was so important to make sure that we had a prototype that we could actually move, actually like felt good. It was a goal of ours to make sure that we didn't have to use a virtual joystick for the game, mm-hmm. and that the game would just feel natural on a touch device. So that was the very first thing that we did. We got a character in the level, we had encounters, and then we had just had you do the simplest things of moving around. What is the responsiveness of swiping to dodge? What is, you know, how quickly can you kind of like tweaking the animation speed of kind of getting in for an attack versus dodging? All of those types of things was some of the very, very first things that we hit that we saw was the most important.
Yeah. What I enjoy about the game is that the game keeps changing from your playstyle depending on the echoes and the weapons you choose. For example, I just picked up a ray gun type of gun.
Yeah.
You know, and it the action is a little bit slower with the ray gun, but it feels more more impotent, more potent.
Yeah, and that's some of the stuff that we wanted to do is you know, like kind of like have you play a little differently, because then yeah, when you have that beam weapon, you're actually trying to kite guys away, turn around while they're all more in single fire line, because the beam will pierce and then you're able to hit multiple targets, where in every other weapon, it'll stop on the first target it hit. So it may feel less powerful in the beginning, but then once you start to learn how to master the weapon and actually line up your targets correctly, then you end up going to maximizing the damage out of it, and it's going to actually feel a lot more powerful. Same thing with the rocket or the grenade gun and stuff like that. It's one of our only guns with more of an AOE impact. And then when you mix that with certain things that like mind and body that'll push targets back when they're damaged, well, that's a pretty cool sounding thing. But then when it's done on AOE, then you're able to actually push back up multiple targets if they're close enough in the AOE range. And it's those types of things of, you know, like the different combinations of not just echoes, but the combinations with your gear and stuff like that is, you know, some of the kind of genesis of the idea that we really got excited about.
Yeah.
Could you explain a little bit further about the ecosystem? I don't know if everybody, every listener has played the game yet, you know, like what is the ecosystem and what is your intention?
So the echoes are other heroes that you meet up in the game world. You've made contact with these beings who are part of their own kind of universe, their own part of the multiverse. And basically what they are is they're characters that have abilities, and they let these characters let you use their abilities in combat. And so you'll meet several of them throughout the game. In the initial release, we have 64 different echoes, and you kind of collect them as if they were cards. Mm-hmm. So as you're building up your collection, before you go into a mission, you can decide which of these echoes you want to bring along. Whoops, sorry about that. Skype is talking to us. So you get to decide which of these echoes you take with you to help customize your gameplay. So I could go into a mission and say, I'm going to take somebody that makes me stronger in melees, that mind and body power that Dave mentioned, which pushes guys back. But basically, it's just a way to customize your character. And then a second branch along with that is before a mission starts, you see your friends' echoes that are presented to you. So, for example, if you and I are friends in the game or in Game Center, I'll see one of yours pop up on my list before a mission starts, and I can take that along with me, or I could choose to take someone else's along with me and use their powers in my fight. So now I've got mine and yours with me on a fight, and then at the end of that mission, I get a reward for finishing the mission, but I also send you back a reward because I got to use yours in the mission too. So everybody gets kind of a benefit of that. And that's kind of hard to explain without seeing pictures and seeing I'm pointing around in the air wildly right now. But you kind of get the idea.
Yeah, I think that, and to just try and put it in a simple way, is that you're able to channel a variety of different abilities. Like all of those abilities come from different echoes. Each echo has at least one unique ability, sometimes two. And, you know, basically as you collect them, as you make contact with them, you can kind of customize all of the different kind of unique things that your character can do. And that could be anything from popping down turrets, creating a force field, sending out a fire blast, just even more passive things like, you know, bonus to your attack power, bonus to your defense. And then all of those things you can pick up to five, depending on what level you are, to kind of customize how you're actually going to kind of fight, you know, these encounters. Mm-hmm.
You mentioned some of the inspirations earlier, like Diablo, of course, and stuff like that. What is your inspiration? What has been your inspiration for other games? And what is good game design in your opinion?
We pull from our company plays so many different games. I mean, this one we mentioned, Diablo, is a direct inspiration, but also Infinity Blade was a direct inspiration on this game, and Battleheart. Those were just two fantastic games iOS that really use the iPad and the iPhone well, and that's inspiring to us.
And I think so much of it would come to kind of what game we're focusing on, because even Hero Academy had its own group of games, you know, that were there for inspiration. Same with Orcs. It's so much is on the time that we kind of like take that time to figure out what game we're going to do and see what people are excited about at that time. Also see if there's kind of a space, you know, in the market that we think, because that's the other thing that we like to do is try and put a game out there that isn't, you know, basically can be seen somewhere else. We try to generate a unique game and a unique experience at the time. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that's usually one of the first things is trying to make sure that we would be able to put out something differentiated. And then at that point, it so much of it just comes from, you know, the moment and you know, kind of what people are thinking about or excited about during that time. I didn't mean to cut you off.
But I mean, throughout all the games we make, we really just want, I mean, from way back in the day when we used to work with Bruce Shelley, it was his design goal was always to make a game with a series of interesting decisions. And so that's kind of the way we approach games is, where are these cool decisions that the player gets to make, and you know, are they meaningful? So before missions, there's cool decisions to make before a mission, and what echoes you take and how you load out the gear, and then it's interesting decisions in combat at a macro level. So it's just thinking about those things and how to keep the player engaged and feeling important. And then my personal goal is to always add a little bit of FIFA into every game that we play. So that's what I try to do.
A little bit of FIFA?
Yes. It's just a joke, because that's all it is, FIFA sometimes.
Okay, yeah. I didn't know like that guys from Texas know FIFA.
I know.
He is our resident expert at FIFA.
Okay.
Not as many other people here.
Yeah, you know, Germany doesn't know what Madden is, but everybody plays FIFA.
Right.
I think you mentioned a very valid point that you have to understand the platform you're designing for.
Yes.
A question I have for you is like what happened to Orcs Must Die on the console? I really enjoyed the first Orcs game, and I was very exciting to hear that the second that you made a prequel a sequel to that game, but it never appeared on any consoles. Can you explain why?
Sure, Justin's gonna tell us.
You haven't heard from me yet. I've been sitting quietly in the room. I'm Justin.
Hi there.
The big thing there was we had a really passionate community around the console version of Orcs Must Die. When we came up to make the sequel, though, we wanted to make a bigger game, and we wanted to make it in, honestly, a little bit less time. So we knew early on that we had to focus on one platform, so we just chose the platform that had the larger of the two communities, and Steam was quite a bit larger. So we just sort of made the choice that, you know, we wanted to focus there, and it allowed us to make a much bigger game in, believe it or not, a shorter amount of time, and that's just kind of how it came together. We have several people in the studio that played Orcs, the original Orcs, on the Xbox, myself included. We love the game. Like I said, it was a passionate community, but it was just a smaller one compared to what we had on Steam.
Okay.
It's hard, honestly, for independent developers how, you know, to choose what they spend their time on. So that was a tough decision that we were making, and it's hard, you know, it's hard to make for multiple platforms.
And it was a difficult, just to reiterate, and I know two out of the three have already said it, so I'm just going to throw more on there. But it was one of the most difficult things because, you know, we did hit that at a pretty, you know, big chunk of time at the end of Orcs. And at first, you know, because a lot of us were kind of, especially the artists on the team, were very PC centric. Mm. But man, by the time, you know, we'd got a month or two in of kind of messing with the Xbox, we couldn't get people out of the playtest room. And it was like everybody even switched from, oh, this just feels like the more natural way to play. And when it did come to that decision, it was a very difficult one, you know, internally, because so many of us, you know, just felt like it was just such a nice, natural experience on the console. But, you know, the reality of our situation was we couldn't spread ourselves too thin there.
Mm. What do you think happened to Microsoft and the indie scene? You know, like the time around when Orcs, the first Orcs appeared, everybody was looking at the Xbox marketplace for like cool new, not AAA games and stuff like that, and cool indies and games like Fez and stuff. And nowadays, like since 1 year, everybody is looking on the PlayStation platform because they have something like the focus on indie games now. What do you think happens there?
I don't know. You know, it's just really what the focus of those companies are with Microsoft. And I mean, I can only speak from my own personal experience, and that's not, I don't have a ton of experience, so it's, a lot of this is just kind of speculating, but it felt for a while that Microsoft's bigger interests were elsewhere in their platform. They, you know, they have a lot of media stuff that they're concentrating on, and they're concentrating a lot on AAA games, and so maybe the Xbox Live stuff fell by the wayside, where it felt like that was where Sony decided, hey, this is going to be a really big focus for them going forward. Although I will say, after, I guess it was after E3, Microsoft has come around and said that indie is very important to them again, and they're doing quite a bit to court indie developers again. So I think maybe with the Xbox One, you're going to start seeing more folks going back there. And it's a lot less painful, a lot less onerous now to get on there on the Xbox. You know, before you had to pay for things like patches yourself and game updates, and that's really tough for independent developers. And I guess that, I mean, I don't know directly, but it sounds like maybe that policy has changed a bunch, and both Microsoft and Sony are helping indies out more. I hope that's the case, for sure.
Are you guys looking forward for the next generation?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. You know, the big one I was looking forward to was Watch Dogs, but that's been pushed back a couple months. Yeah. So I'll have to figure it out from there. But I know the new FIFA looks good.
But like for you guys as a developer, what's your expectation of the next gen? You know, it's not always like just better graphics and more power. What can you get out of like next generation consoles? What do you see for the future of the games?
Well, we're not really focusing on that right now. We do have, you know, kind of our hands full, you know, like we kind of even hinted at, you know, even before, you know, when you are a small company and you kind of have, you know, two things that you're kind of working on, you're kind of in the moment, you know, at that point. And so we're very much in the moment right now of, you know, continuing to work on Echo Prime. And then we have another, you know, title that we're working on. So I think we're going to even just be able to see as a consumer, you know, what's going to happen with the next generation before, as a developer, we have to even worry too much about it. But I don't know.
I was going to say, it's one thing that's really nice is trying to get some parity between high-end PCs or current-end PCs with the new platform, so the port work isn't as onerous. So I mean, anything that brings up the water line up, so to speak, is a very good thing.
And is it a strategic decision that you have to wait until there's a bigger installed user base?
I think if we had a game that we thought was right for those platforms, we wouldn't wait. I mean, I think that makes a difference for a lot of folks. I remember back when we used to make Xbox games directly, like Halo Wars. We started it when it seems like Xbox 360 was about a year old, so always keeping an eye on those install rates was a big deal for us back then. So I imagine it's a big deal now, to where people are going to want to get a couple million consoles out there before they commit to it. But for us personally, you know, it's just looking at the game, what are the benefits of for us spending time on specific platforms. Right now we're fired up about PC and about and then for Echo Prime specifically, we're fired up about the mobile market.
So you mentioned the mobile market. Echo Prime is out like for a couple of days now. Are you guys happy so far with the release?
Yeah, absolutely. So far, so good. We're seeing lots of Echoes up on our servers. So they
in all different languages.
In all different languages. So it's really cool to see. It's doing exactly what we would hope it would do. So it's kind of spreading like wildfire. Yes, not wildflowers.
They spread too.
They spread. Yeah. So I think it can go either way, as long as it's wild.
Echo Prime costs about like $4 to $5.
Yeah, it's $4.99 here in the States.
So it's €4.43 over here or something like that. What was your decision to go not free to play?
It just felt right for the game, honestly. It just felt like we were making kind of a core game, for lack of a better word, but it's just a word that gets used a lot. And, you know, it's kind of a gamer's game, so we felt like we...
A gamer's game, that's good.
Yeah, so I don't mean that to be insulting to folks who like different genres, but you know what I mean? It's kind of a rich, deep experience, and it felt right to where having a price on there... it kind of set us aside and put the right mindset into folks who are looking for that type of game. And it kind of kept, it was able for us, it kept the game pure for us in a way.
What do you guys think about free-to-play in general? Is it good game design, or does it destroy gamers' games?
I think it's one of those things, if you have the right game for it, you know, then it can always work, right? Like, I understand why some of the casual games do it. I understand why some of the other, you know, kind of even somewhat core cut time some games can do it. It's just having the right perspective, you know, on it, and, you know, where that could be successful. Mm. If you look at, you know, the top grossing games on the mobile market, you know, 90 to 95% of them are all free, right? Like, so apparently, you know, they do really well, you know, on sorry,
we think
we're having phone difficulties. Apparently they do really well, you know, on the market. You know, the mobile market, it just didn't necessarily seem like that was right for Echo Prime.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, there are absolutely ways to do free-to-play right. I mean, you look at on the PC side, obviously things like League of Legends, there's great ways to do that. And then there are ways that don't work quite as well. And really, you just need to be thinking about, as game designers and game producers, you just need to be thinking about what's right for your game and what's right for the type of the users you expect to have.
Yeah. I think I like the way of in-app purchases like you did in Hero Academy, you know, that you can play the game fully and enjoy it completely, but you can add more layers to the game if you buy new teams, like the classic add-on character type of in-app purchases.
Yeah.
That's a good way to do it, I think.
And that is a really good way to do it. And what was really nice about Hero Academy is that you can have a you can continue that pretty... that experience with that one team and still get a lot of different results because of you had that component of playing with other people and those other people can have different teams. So there was a lot of that kind of stuff that worked really well in that and with that game to be free and to have paid for add-on content. With Echo Prime, you know, we have a pretty, you know, specific experience in the beginning. And, you know, so it was hard to say, well, how can we kind of like have a portion of that kind of broken off that's like the core experience, but then you can potentially purchase something. It was very hard to kind of do that. There wasn't enough content to kind of like figure out how we can kind of break some of that off without ruining, you know, the core experience. And that's why it seemed to make more sense to be paid right now.
I always feel a little bit cheated when I pay like $4 to $5 for a game and I see in-app purchases in the game. But that may be just my gamers opinion.
Yeah, and that's definitely, you know, like that's, and we can understand that opinion. And I think that the thing that we just want to make sure that people understand is that, you know, that you do get emblems, which is a premium currency in the game. You get them for playing the game. You get one for leveling up. You get one for finding an echo. You get one for upgrading an echo to basically using your echo, and when it upgrades the veteran, then you get another one. So, you know, as you play through the game, you can get, you know, over 150 emblems just by playing anyway. It's just in there to give people that there's a lot of people out there that want to kind of speed through the game, which much like yourself, I'm one of those more purists. I want to just kind of play the game the way that it's meant to be played. And I kind of don't understand sometimes where people want to fast forward what I think are some of the good parts about it. But there are, you know, people that do like that. Just realize that, you know, it isn't in there to complete it. The core experience was made in mind to not have to, you know, actually have to purchase any emblems. It's just there for people that want to potentially go through some of the parts of the game.
Yeah, it depends on the balancing.
That's kind of an important point about those emblems, is that everything you can spend emblems on is basically an accelerator. We're not locking up levels behind emblems. We're not locking up gear behind emblems. It's all, everything you can spend emblems on is basically a way to get stuff you can get elsewhere. It just helps you get it a little sooner or something like that. So we were very conscious of, you know, of what you said was your fear. You know, you buy the game and then you have to spend money on top of it to finish or whatever. You don't have to do that here. It's just like Dave said, it's for people that want to speed along a certain aspect of it, they can do that.
And if anything, there's actually things that are protected that with the best gear and some of the tiers, you can only get with in-game currency. You can't get with the emblems that you can buy because we did want to make sure that there was a pure experience for more of the pure gamer. Mm.
I think the balance is crucial between the time you have to spend and the real money you can spend.
Yes.
If that balance is fair, then it feels okay.
Yeah, the game is balanced for not spending money, frankly. it should be. I mean, the game was made for the person.
Don't tell that your business guys.
Well, he's a producer. He's even. but I think it's fair. You know, just to one more point in it. Like for the last couple months that you know we had the game, we didn't even have purchasing turned on for us internally, because you know just the way that it was going to be hooked up with iTunes and stuff like that. And you know we had people still completing, doing the post, you know, campaign content and all of that kind of stuff in there. And that's the type of thing. You know, it takes more time, but it's a game that you like, and it's a game that then you know it's a more pure experience that way. But for the people that don't, there are options to kind of accelerate some of that stuff if they want. Mm.
You've been in the game like a couple of years now, since Ensemble Studios. Is it harder to earn money with games nowadays because of the all free to play stuff and Steam sales every second week? Mm-hmm. Is it harder?
It's definitely different. I mean, before, so we had Microsoft as our publisher, as Microsoft employees at Ensemble, and then before that, you know, we had a really strong publisher relationship when Ensemble was private. I mean, the way we look at it now is we get to control our own destiny. Mm. So there's a lot of different ways that we can do that, and they all are kind of scary because the business changes fast, but you know, Steam, we have our games on Steam, and they've just been an absolutely wonderful partner for us. They've just been, and I hear that with everybody that works with Steam, but you know, they treat us with such respect. They like our games, and they do well for our games. It feels like a really true partnership, so that's great.
Do you remember the days everybody hated Steam because you had to install it for Half-Life 2?
Yeah, I know. It's really funny. And in fact, I guess it must be one of their anniversaries right around now, because a bunch of articles pop up around that recently.
But you almost forget, because it's such a part of things now that it was so you know foreign in ways before that everybody was just scared of it and you know against it, and now it's almost a way of life.
So with that, I mean that's a great spot for an indie developer to go. The mobile market's a great place for people to go, but it's scary for sure. I mean, just thinking about the free to play market and how many games get released every day, especially in mobile. It's daunting, but you know we're lucky. We've got a history. We have good relationships with folks. We feel like we make games that stand out. So, so far so good.
And you know, as being Robot, you know, much like we talked about in the beginning that you hinted at, we make a lot of different types of games. And you know, as Robot fans, you know, we kind of got a great, very loyal community that has basically taken in a lot of the different games that we've put out and kind of sees, you know, what we put in it as Robot developers and can kind of see the good in that too. So it has been good. It's different because it in a lot of ways, there's so many more people making games. No matter what the platform is, there's so much more competition. But in a lot of ways, that's tough. It's more challenging, but it's also great. You know, it's great for our industry. It never seems better that so many, we're not in the time of like everything has to be a sequel anymore, because you can look just anywhere and see just some of the most creative, inspiring ideas just popping up everywhere.
Cool. Are you guys able to talk about your next plans or give us any hints?
No.
Of course not.
Justin keeps waving his arms. Yeah.
That's like one of the questions you always know you don't get any answers to.
I can tell you we're going to be keep spending time on Echo Prime for a while. You know, that's what my group in the studio will be, or, you know, mine and Dave's group in the studio will be keeping an eye on things in Echo Prime. We'll be adding stuff along the way. Nothing specific we want to talk about yet, but that's something that we're very fired up about.
And we've still got Android coming for Echo Prime too.
Yeah, Android.
We're still very focused on this game.
It's like the most common question for iOS game developers. Where's the Android version?
It's really being worked on right now. I don't want to give a date because dates are never work out. But we're really close. We're very close on the Android version.
Is it very important, the Android version? Like a true question. I have like some developer friends in Germany who don't even bother with the Android version anymore.
Yeah, you know, we hear a lot of contradictory comments around that. Honestly, we hear some folks say it's the best thing that they ever did, and some people say they'd never do it again. Mm. So it'll be an interesting thing for us. You know, Hero Academy came out a couple weeks ago on Android, and we're very happy with the way things are going there. And we feel like this game, we feel like Echo Prime will work really well on the platform. But it'll be interesting to see for sure. It's always an experience.
Well, and even with Hero Academy, we had a little bit of experience before it even hit Android of we mixed in the Steam, you know, platform and then Android. And it's nice to have all of those potential players in that ecosystem to play with. It just spreads out more people that you can kind of get echoes from. It's more people that you can get introduced to in Echo Prime to kind of like take, you know, and kind of customize new abilities with. So it's always nice. I love iOS. I have every single iOS device, at least one or two of them, with, you know, having the kids and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So I'm more of an iOS person myself, but, you know, just as a gamer, I like the idea of you know, the game being reached out to as many people as possible. Mm.
Cool. Thanks for the interview, guys.
Oh, we really appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for a bunch for having us on.
Maybe you can tell us what you guys are playing besides your workplace.
Oh, that's, yeah. So what I've been playing a lot of the new Rayman game on the Wii U, which is
it's beautiful,
crazy good. Yeah. And then I've fallen back to some games that I missed when we were working on Echo Prime. I'm trying to catch back up, but I really, really like the new Kingdom Rush game, Frontiers. Kingdom Rush Frontiers is fantastic. So I'm just kind of, I'm a couple months behind on that, but really loving that.
Yeah, those guys always put out great games. You're also playing the Frontiers game. I'm also PC player, so I play League of Legends and got into the Battlefield 4 beta and looking forward to the release next week with that. So yeah, that's pretty much it for me.
Great.
I'm playing a bunch of weird little stuff. I'm playing like Papers, Please and Gone Home. And
well, awesome. Papers, Please is really great.
That's a fantastic game. So on paper, it has no right to be good, but then you play it and it's amazing.
So that's a perfect example of like how cool the industry is right now, that those games we just listed all live together. Right? It all fits.
I'm looking forward to the Stanley Parable like this weekend now.
Yeah, I actually want to play that too.
Yeah. That's okay. So, like from these games you guys mentioned, I can't put any inspirational stuff out of it for your next game.
It really is. So, like, because there's little overlap when we just talk about what we do in our free time, but when it comes to actually making a game, there's so much overlap that happens. You know, so many of us have worked together for over 10 years. So, you know, I mean, it's almost like, you know, when you come to work, you're coming to your second family. Almost have like a different dialect with one another. We kind of know one another's thoughts. There's still a lot of shared passion, you know, there, even though some of us like Madden, like me, and Chris likes FIFA.
So I did think of the game that you can imagine that we're making next, which is a ticket agent at a football stadium. You just come through and you decide if they can go in or not.
May I pitch a game idea for you?
Yes,
it's a jump and run with Papers, Please graphics, and the guys are always FIFA players.
Oh yeah, see?
Perfect,
fit right in. Thanks.
Papers, Please jump and run version. That's great.
Awesome.
Great guys. Have a nice day.
Thanks.
All right, you too.
Thanks, you too.
Well, a pleasure to talk to you.
Oh, it was great.
And you guys, the listeners can take a look at what's your game called? Echo Prime, of course, on iTunes and soon on Android. I will link to the game and put the trailer on our blog post, of course. And thanks a lot, guys.
Yeah, thank you. We really appreciate it.
See you.
All right, bye. See ya.